We're joining Joan Neeson of Sports Illustrated via Skype. She was in Chicago last night for the first round of the NFL draft out there in Chicago, where the Broncos, with the 23rd pick, took Shane Ray. And that's somebody that Joan knows very well, as she wrote a very nice feature story in Sports Illustrated on him. And Joan, what did you think of the pick the Broncos made?
Honestly, I thought that, you know, when you come into the draft with the 28th pick, obviously had to give some stuff up, to move up. But in the end, you're getting a player with, you know, probably a top 10 talent, and you're started out at the very back of the draft. So as far as value from the original pick, I think they got more value than, you know, maybe any team in the draft potentially.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, John Elway said that he had him ranked 10th on his big board. And as far as the story that you wrote about him, what kind of sense of the person did you get when you were able to meet up with him at the combine?
You know, I really enjoyed the time I spent with him. I went to Missouri, so I obviously watched a lot of him when he was in college, and, you know, really enjoyed watching him and just meeting him. It was really fun. I went one of the nights of the combine. He was training, I think he started this training session at about 10 p.m. in the convention center in Indy, just in an empty hallway. I met him there and just kind of hung out with him for about 3 hours while he worked out, got treatment. And it was a great time. He's just a really friendly, easy to talk to guy. Sometimes when you're writing a story about someone and you want to delve into their past and the things they've overcome and that kind of stuff, guys can be slow to open up. And I think I asked him one question and he told me his life story. He's very, you know, candid, honest, forthcoming person, which is, I think, a great quality in anyone.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if you check out Joan's story in Sports Illustrated, it goes all through Shane Ray's life story, which has a lot of twists and turns in it. Grew up in Kansas City in an area called the Murder Factory. Then he went to a private school to play high school football. What did you think about his life kind of leading up to his time at Mizzou?
I mean, he had a rough go of it. The neighborhood that he spent most of his childhood in was, I think it has, I mean, the nickname speaks for itself. I think it is the highest murder rate in Kansas City. He and his mother left the neighborhood briefly when he was younger. His mother was married to a man who lived in a different part of Kansas City. But when they got divorced, they moved back. And I think there was a lot of, he was uprooted. He had a cousin who was involved in some gang, I think gang-related issues, and was eventually killed. And I think that really hit him hard. And I think his life really was turned around when his mom put him on this youth football team that was coached by a man who lived in the suburbs but came into the inner city to coach this team. And this same man kind of got Shane into a private school. And, I mean, at that point, he wasn't even really a football player, though. It took him until he hit a growth spurt, and then he found himself at a, you know, a really great school with a great football team and just on the track to get to Missouri.
And, of course, something that you mentioned in your story was that he was interested in Missouri because that's where his father had played. And he had kind of a rough relationship with his father. And in the story, you said that he was trying to always one-up his father in terms of his playing time at Missouri. And once he kind of got past that is when he really started to excel, right?
Yeah, it was, I think, a hard thing for him to just mentally get past. From talking to some people who covered Missouri's team, some of the journalists down there, they said that when he showed up, his dad's name was Wendell Ray, and he showed up to Mizzou and it wasn't Shane Ray is here, it was Wendell Ray's son is here. And the people who were saying that, I guess, weren't quite knowledgeable about their relationship, and the two really hadn't had a relationship. And I think that sort of put, you know, a level of pressure you don't want to put on an 18-year-old. His dad hadn't been in the picture for a very long time. And so I think that was hard. He put up on the wall of his dorm room a bunch of newspaper clippings of his father's accomplishments, and sort of, I think, got a little obsessed with that. And it wasn't until he took them down midway through his college career that he sort of was able to shed that pressure and get his game to the next level and become a far better player than his father ever was.
And we definitely saw that. He was the SEC Defensive Player of the Year last year, a consensus All-American, and that earned him that right to be drafted in the first round. But, of course, he had another little issue there with the marijuana possession. And almost now, would you say that he's coming to another kind of point in his career where he has another opportunity to change things around?
It really does seem that way. And I think he's so, I mean, obviously what he did was terrible timing. Nothing you ever want to see happen to anyone the week of the draft, but he's been so accountable. And I think that I wrote actually in a web story today that he's been in this situation before with, you know, going to this private school and really chafing against the rules and not knowing people and being out of his element. And he showed up. He didn't quit. Same thing when he got to Missouri in his freshman year, you know, was just didn't quite have the focus or the right attitude and approach. And when coaches confronted him, he turned it around. He became one of their, you know, most valuable players on and off the field. And I think he's learned throughout his life just how to be accountable. And last night in Chicago, and I think he said this to, you know, you guys over the video conference as well, that he showed up in Chicago and he handled it like a man, which, I mean, I don't think it ever crossed his mind not to go to Chicago. And that says a lot to me.
Most definitely. What an interesting story about Shane Ray leading up to the draft, and now he's a member of the Denver Broncos. Joan, thank you so much for joining us over Skype here, and everybody, make sure you go out and check out that story.
Thanks for having me, Phil.